Hi. Sorry, I'm a little slow to get everything set up right here. But for those of you who don't know, I'm really pleased that Jason Loeffler is joining our meeting today. Jason Loeffler and I collaborate on the development prioritization sub-team on the Archive Space User Advisory Council, and he's very active in many, many other things as well, and I'm really pleased to have him here. So first I'm going to post our meeting agenda, which has Jason talking first. First of all, I'd probably better do a roll call. I'm sorry about that, Jason. Wait, this is wrong meeting notes. It's only Tuesday. Sorry about that. So good afternoon, everybody. So first of all, let's go through a little roll call. So Alexandra Orchard, are you around?
Yep, hi.
Hi. Alexis Adkins, Anna Kephart, Annie Tang, Betsy Baldwin, Christy Tomacek, Devin Proudfoot.
Hi.
Hi, Devin. Eleanor Blackman, Elizabeth Wilkinson, Ella Van Holtum, Greg Farr, Jane LaBarbera, Joanne Archer, Joanna Carl.
Hi.
Hi. John Andries, Lavinia Trufa, Linda Hawking, Linda Sellers, Lisa Callahan, Lynn Moulton,
Excuse me.
Margaret Kidd, Megan Blair, Megan Lyon, Milaka Cotman, Monique Sugimoto, Olivia Solis, Sarah Chetney, Sarah Casson, Suzanne Reller, Thomas Allen. All right, thank you all for tuning in. And thank you.
It's Betsy Baldwin.
Oh, hi, Betsy.
Hi, sorry.
So I just wanted to say thank you all for tuning in to this meeting, and thank you to everyone who's tuning in at a later time. I really appreciate all of the hard work you've done with the Staff Interface Enhancement Working Group, and we're nearing the finish line for our recommendations in this forum. So as I had mentioned earlier, I'm really pleased that Jason Loeffler is tuning in for this meeting. He's amazing, and he's got a great combination of being an expert archivist as well as a very technical person. So he's been looking into the permissions and potentially about the possibilities for some of the ideas we had coming from his background working with Drupal. So Jason, I'll let you take it away.
Okay, thanks for the introduction. I'll try to live up to that. So I really only looked at the user account final specs, which seemed to be the lion's share of permission, user group, and account management. There seems to be a sort of companion project here with authentication with external authentication services such as CAS or LDAP. Mm-hmm. That right off the top, that's a potentially enormous project, and I would maybe recommend breaking that out as a second project or as a companion project. And that, I mean, maybe that's something the development team can do to survey what authentication mechanisms different institutions are using and which ones we need to support. There are probably already a lot of tickets out there about that. But I think that generally I would recommend sort of removing that from this specification and putting it into another one.
Mm-hmm. So maybe there needs within our specifications to be more clarification on what our true recommendations, as in this is what we really want to see implemented, and these are more of some ideas of directions we'd hope eventually it could go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Generally, I mean, this looks good. I would really, you know, Lainey and I spoke about this briefly. The administration matrices for user group permissions could be, we could adapt the matrix that Drupal uses, which is pretty transparent and easy for a layperson or a non-technical administrator to go in and very quickly understand what rights have been administered. The text in the user accounts document is pretty clear, but the screenshots and the modifications to the screenshots and the proposed wireframes seem a little muddy to me.
This is for the user account spec?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I have until the 12th, I guess, to comment on this. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be great. We're hoping to submit our finalized recommendations on the 19th. The more time we have to integrate your recommendations, the better. But, you know, if it ends up you need to submit your any feedback a little bit later, we can also deal with that too.
Yeah, I'll try and get that out to you by next week.
Okay, thank you.
I think what I'm going to do is maybe you and I can just do a quick walkthrough of Drupal mm-hmm. administration.
Sure.
So you can see what a sample installation looks like. And we can more or less copy that. There's not, the archives administration is much less granular Drupal, because Drupal has to do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be a good first step or second step to refine the graphical input for these screens.
Sure.
You know, permission groups and so on. I have a question. Is there several more questions. Is there a way to add an arbitrary permission group? I see custom list for catalogers. Is that intended to be something that a instance administrator can create?
Mm-hmm. To create customize user groups. We divided up into groups to tackle these various topics. So does anybody from this permissions and user accounts group, would they be able to weigh in and clarify?
Yes. Yeah, so I think, I'm not sure. I wasn't the one that put together this specific wireframe that we're talking about with that custom list for catalogers. Are you not able to create your own permissions group? I guess I don't have, here at my institution, I'm not in charge of our archive space instance, but are you able to do that? I think that was the idea, that if you had your own custom list, if that's not already, I think it was just trying to show what that screen would look like.
Okay, I can't remember off the top of my head. Let me just.
It is a feature of Archive Space now that you can create custom permission groups. There's 6 built-in plus system administrators, but you can also create custom groups.
Okay.
Is this something we need to strike from the recommendations then, if it's already available?
No, because you've already. You've already included in the wireframe for managing permission groups, you're accounting for the existing groups and then the custom list. So,
okay, great.
I think that just needs to be changed too.
I think this was more along the lines of a way to display this, to right. have all of your lists, all of your permission groups available in one spot.
Yeah, so this is what the matrix here, I guess it's on page 4, starting on page 4 of the user accounts document, is very close to what you would see in Drupal. So let me take a stab at, you know, really fleshing that out further, just for my own clarification as well, to understand what's trying to be accomplished here. So there are entity level permissions, resource components, digital objects, agents, and so on. Is there any need for field level permission granting? For example, setting up a user account that can only edit and access a unit or a selection of fields within a particular entity. So if I have a data entry user who is only enabled to edit title, a selected group of notes fields, and perhaps an agent record, is that something that's been considered?
I do not remember seeing any Jira tickets along those lines. That's not something the user accounts group had found or that we had thought of. I think the main one that was desired by other institutions was the collection level permissions.
Mm-hmm. Meaning resource level?
Yeah, sorry, resource level. So assigning your a student or an intern to a specific, to have basic data entry permissions for a specific resource in ArchivesSpace.
So they have, let's say, within a particular resource, they have rights to edit any field in any resource component.
Yes, depending on which. So if the basic data permission group allowed you to create archival objects, then you'd be able to create any sort of archival objects within
right.
within that resource.
So do you want, I mean,
but I think that I think that could be interesting in terms of if you're giving a specific user resource level permissions, then it would be interesting to kind of be able to make sure that they're only editing or creating specific notes, things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we have, you know, a use case, a single use case in our organization where we want to restrict access to certain fields that contain sensitive information that we do not want an untrained or a non-archivist to accidentally edit or delete or something like that.
In the user spec, it looks like there's a field for catalogers, and at least at Michigan State, that's a potential use case that sounds to be similar to what you're talking about too, where the catalogers specifically enter data for agents and subjects, but don't touch the finding aid data.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a trust relationship there that could be enforceable through an additional level of field, you know, what are basically field permission checks. Is that needlessly complicating things? My instinct tells me that could be useful.
I didn't particularly focus on this spec, but Devin and people from the user accounts and permissions group, I think it sounded like the spirit of the spec was to enable greater customization to allow for potentially these sort of scenarios. Is that true?
Here at Harvard, I would say that we have an instance where we have a centralized imaging services. And so if they could just have access to the digital object records, it would really be very helpful. But we didn't go there when we were doing the permissions thing, but I can see other use instances for it.
Yeah, I can think of that too. Yeah, great.
Yeah. I mean, you could almost set up like a permissions template. I'd have to think through how that would work. Permissions checks are not necessarily complicated to execute, but the existing the way permissions are currently handled in archive space are not terribly flexible. So this would represent a big change, which is neither here nor there at the moment. I think, is there a way that you go out and poll the community, or is that what we're doing now?
This is the commentary window right now. Yeah. We also, in the email that I sent out, have a poll, like a Google form, to get additional feedback. I'm not sure if there's any user accounts specific questions about that, but if there isn't, we can add one.
Okay. I'll go back. I seem to recall a request for a field level permissions. Maybe it came from our last development prioritization call, Lydia. Was that? Yeah, that was from you, right?
Yes. That was my Jira ticket that's been kicking around. Okay. Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think we should do it. I think we should find out a way to do it, or find out what it'll take, or whatever the next steps are. It really helps focus basic data entry users on a specific series of tasks, without accidentally blowing away data, or just being overwhelmed by the form. You could even have a view permission for a particular set of fields. So imagine a scenario where only the fields that they can edit are visible, or the ones they can edit are at least grayed out.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Allow them to sort of go through very quickly to make edits.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some efficiencies that could be gained there.
Right. Especially also having to do with a visual layout for these kind of view-only permissions too. So that way there's less scrolling and clicking through stuff to get to the fields that they actually
need. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Okay. Well, that's an action item for me to tighten up the sort of the parent matrix, and then also maybe add the definitely add some documentation for a field level permission capability.
Great. Can you draft it up? Do you use Google Documents?
I do.
Yeah. Would you be willing to draft up your ideas and then share it with me, and I can pass it along? And if you do want to follow up with that meeting, I definitely want the rest of the team from the user accounts and permissions to also tune in too. So maybe we could do a second Zoom meeting.
Sure. That'd be fine.
If you're interested. Uh-huh. Okay. Good. Great.
My next question is, and I don't know enough about the inheritability of API permissions, but if you set up, an API-only account, is that, Christine, maybe you can answer, do user accounts Can generic users created in ArchivesSpace have API access, or is it only a user one administrator account?
You have to authenticate to get access via the API, and I believe the permission, I don't know for sure, but I would have a feeling that the permissions that you have as that user that you authenticated as,
okay,
those would be your permissions.
All right.
API.
Okay. I wonder if there's a need just for an additional level of security. If there's a need for an API function in the permission groups.
Such as only having read-only for the API just to do more queries?
Mm-hmm. Right, well...
Like the master API versus...
Yeah, I mean... If
informational.
I mean, I don't know. There's the... I don't understand enough about how security is managed in ArchivesSpace. You know, as an aside, I think just as an aside, I think ArchivesSpace should be a secure application by default. In other words, served from an HTTPS protocol, but that's another conversation. We've had instances where a developer has gone into a ArchivesSpace instance and run a bad command and deleted or accidentally modified, a whole swath of records.
How horrifying!
Well, it can happen. If you use a wrong argument in a HTTP request can cause problems, but I don't know if we want to just offer, not necessarily enforce, but just offer an API function by default along the lines of repository manager, archivist, basic data entry, et cetera, just to make it explicit that that account is specific to any REST queries that instance is expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to really lose anything by at least offering that.
Yeah. So users can be assigned to multiple permission groups, right? So this would basically be like a three-question kind of thing of edit through API, view only, or verboten, don't enter.
Yeah, something like that. You could still offer all of the other repository level, collection level permissions. So you could say, I could have an API account that handles only repository 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or, it's pretty, it could be as granular as everything else that we've spec'd out here.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I could see... maybe having it being two questions, actually. So if you're not assigned to that particular permission group, then you're not allowed access at all. But otherwise, it's view only, edit, and then have some sort of area to indicate which repository, mm-hmm. versus multiple, and then a checkbox for global to select all, perhaps.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, admin's always going to have global access. But all you're really doing is adding another column to the user and group permission matrix. Mm-hmm. Just called like API or something.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Is there currently any way to set these kind of API permissions through the back end at all?
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
Or is it if you're in the know, then you can?
I kind of think you can't. I don't know how you would do that.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, Malaka made this comment about, I think I'm on page 10 now, about just coming back to different authentication mechanisms. I would like to very much see a poll go out about what different authentication protocols people are using. CAS, LDAP, Active Directory, Shibboleth, whatever. And also I would like to, I think there's some work being done on simplifying HTTPS implementation, which is a little convoluted right now. So someone's working on documentation about that. I can't recall who. But I would like to also find out what institutions are currently serving archive space securely with an SSL certificate implementation. Mm-hmm. And if not, why? Mm-hmm. And then maybe get together with the author of the improved HTTPS documentation and share notes on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Does anybody else have any questions for Jason? Jason, do you have anything else to add?
This is really impressive work. I'm kind of blown away by how much has gone into this. These documents are pretty inspiring. So thanks to all of you for putting in such hard work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Yes.
Well, I think it started as a brainstorming document, but now is a separate document for agent and subject records. And since at least the agents are being refactoring, I'm wondering if not as much effort should be put into those, because who knows what it's going to look like when it's done.
Okay, yes. So we're moving along to Alexander was able to pull together documentation from a couple of different pages on agents and subjects. First of all, thank you, Jason, for your time and for tuning in and for providing your feedback.
Can I stay for the rest of the call?
Yes. Okay. Yes, please go ahead. So I'm going to share the link to the access points spec that Alexandra pulled together. Thank you so much, Alexandra. Right here. And so Malaka is saying that the agents and subjects are currently being revised. So she's questioning how much time to actually put into this particular documentation right now, especially if it may be out of date. Malaka, have you had a chance to look through it, and do you feel like that there's definitely some things that we've mentioned here that are going to be out of date and potentially conflict with those future recommendations?
Well, it's just the agents right now that are changing. At some point. I haven't looked through the documents, the new document, but I mean, it's at the member forum listening to them talk. there's going to be a lot of changes, so I have no idea what it's going to look like.
Okay.
What's the new schema for agents?
It's essentially full EAC CPF.
Oh, right.
Okay. It's adding, it's the fields that are already in agents will still be there, but it's adding a whole lot more. And things that people also need for MARC authority records. Good. So a lot of sort of control information, a lot of information about the record itself, where the record came from, as well as additional fields in the record. So it's expanding what is an agent record by quite a bit what's here now.
Is there a SNAC implementation as well?
So that's part of the spec. So there's a very long and detailed spec about the agent's expansion, but part of what's in there is also an integration and synchronization with SNAC. That's part of it.
That's Corey Nimer, right? That mm-hmm. is working on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
My first impression with just being able to look at all of our specs on agents and subjects so far is that these are some kind of small details, pretty much. There's a lot of little small things that all combine together. And so I don't think we're suggesting anything specifically to change it, besides potentially just the behavior for, say, searching, saying that archival objects and digital objects should also show up in search results or when looking at linked records, it looks like resources and accessions of a child agent should appear in parents' linked records lists, showing all linked agents and agent records. I think maybe we could condense down the wording of this, but potentially the same message might still be applicable. We could say in an overview paragraph, which the spec currently needs, is just like maybe two or three sentences that summarize the points that we're making. We can also say that we'll defer to the future recommendations that are made, but these are what we came up as well. I think that might be more helpful to make sure that the work that we've already done can be can be used potentially and not be lost.
And I'll just say that one of the things actively being worked on right now that was part of that agent spec is the functionality to merge agents, because I see that's part of this here. So certainly like the guidance here of sort of the specifics of how you want it to look, that could be very helpful for work that's going on right now.
Okay.
I agree with Malaka to not like blow up the whole thing, but as Lydia says, it looks like a lot of these are kind of smaller tweaks or adding areas of functionality that have already been recommended in that agent spec. So it would be helpful to just have more guidance of what it should look like. So that's great.
Okay. So thanks, Alexandra, for mocking up that quick little statement about deferring to the main project there. And let's go ahead. Is there other people who would be willing to take a look at this spec and help Alexandra just kind of tighten up the wording a little bit? Any other volunteers? Otherwise, Alexandra, I'll jump in. And you just let me know how I can help you and not step on your toes as you're doing what you need to do. So,
thanks, Lydia.
Yeah, you're welcome. So with that said, so this is drawing on two or three different specs potentially. So Alexandra has already removed the agents and subjects information from her team's navigation spec. And so the plan would be to reduce redundancy to remove the copied information from the other specs. Alexandra, do you remember where they came from? I think they're in your comments within this spec.
Yeah, they are. I'd have to check.
Yeah. So as long as people don't object, then I'd suggest let's go ahead and remove the parts that were copied from other specs. What we'll also need to do, as in Alexandra and I, we can update the table of contents and any other areas where it would seem best to make it apparent to link to refer readers to this spec. I can also send it out to the listserv of here's our updated extra spec right here. And then we'll move it into the CWIG recommendations folder. Sound good?
Yep, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. And so next up on our agenda, I had asked Christine if she'd be willing to talk a little bit more about what it would look like for people. First of all, I was talking with her about the implementation phase going forward, and she really recommended that we do an opt-in for CWIG going forward. And so the reason for that is that this way we keep a list of active participants. And so for that, I've created a short Google survey. So this is the CWIG opt-in for the implementation phase in 2018. So the only two required fields really is your email address and name. We'd really prefer your updated information on the institution, position title, and just any additional feedback and commentary so that way we can continue to improve this whole process going forward if you have time. Otherwise, it's completely optional. And so I asked Christine to talk a little bit about what would it involve for volunteers going forward in the timeline.
Thanks, Lydia. So first of all, thank you to everybody. And not everybody's on the call today, but this has been a tremendous effort with lots and lots of people involved. And we appreciate everybody's effort. And so, of course, anyone who wants to stick around and continue working on this is very welcome. So it's not we're not having an opt-in for the next phase in the it's because we want to thin the herd or anything like that. It's just a recognition that not everybody is going to be able to continue to give the level of attention to this that you've been giving for the last 6 months. So what's going to happen in the next phase, once you all deliver your final recommendations, is that Lainey and I, as a start, are going to take those and read through them. We will accept those as the will of the community. So what you send to us, what you recommend, that's what we are going to take as our marching orders for what the application should look like going forward. That said, of course, there's going to need to be some refinement. Maybe not everything is going to be technologically possible. Certainly, we're going to need to prioritize, you know, what happens first, what happens next, what things can happen together versus what things need to happen on their own. So those are things that Lainey and I are going to be working on. From what I've read through so far, we do definitely get the sense that this can be packaged up and chunked into different projects. And so we can implement a little at a time, maybe not even just a little at a time, could be a lot at a time. But no matter what, we don't anticipate this having to work the way the public user interface project worked, and that sort of everything was delivered at once. It came out with a brand new public user interface at the end of the project. We see this as something that can be phased in, where improvements can be phased in over time. There may be some chunks, of course, that are you know, a bigger change and are all going to have to come in together, but we do definitely think that in all the releases that come in 2018, depending how long it's going to take, it could go into 2019 too though, but that you will see improvements in the staff interface based on your recommendations in those releases next year, not just in one release at the end of the project. So the next phase, what we would anticipate, if people still want to be involved, there will be, if there are refinements to those recommendations that need to be made, if developers have questions on, wait, I kind of get what you're saying here, but we need more information. We'd be looking for people that could help with making those refinements. Once things go into the application, Malacca leads our wonderful testing sub-team that's based out of the User Advisory Council and the Technical Advisory Council. It can be helpful, though, to have additional testers, especially people when they're testers who were involved in writing the specifications and really know what the thing is supposed to look like. So those of you who want to stick around, sometimes you'll be called upon to do additional testing. And kind of at the most basic level, those of you who want to stick around would continue to be subscribed to the listserv and would continue to get messages and updates about what's going on with the project. There will, of course, be messages and updates to the community overall. So if you're saying, I don't really have the time to stick around for the next phase of this, it doesn't mean you're going to be in the dark as to what's going on with the staff interface. You'll see the updates that go out to the community just as anybody else would. But the listserv, just as while you've been working on this effort now, the listserv has been a way for you all to communicate with each other and have like a more in-depth understanding of what's going on. That's what we would anticipate the listserv for this going forward to be in the implementation phase as well. It's hard to say right now what the time commitment would be. It's hard to say how long it would go until Lainey and I really get in there and are able to analyze the final recommendations. We won't have a sense of what the different projects are and what the sequencing is going to be. So just as it was with the public user interface project, sometimes it may be a lot of hours in a concentrated period of time, and sometimes it may be not many hours over a longer period of time. And how long it will stretch into 2018 or whether it will go into 2019, I think we'll have a better idea again once Lainey and I are able to get in there and analyze and figure out how these things will get assigned to developers and things like that. So I can't give you any specifics on that right now, except to say that it'll probably be less intense than what you've been doing since July here. Probably won't be bi-weekly meetings, but there will be periods where it will be just as intense, or maybe even more intense, and periods where it will be less intense. So with all those kind of unknowns, as I said at the beginning, anyone who wants to stick around, we would be very happy to have you. And whether you stick around or not, we're incredibly grateful for all the work that you've done so far. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Christine. Does anybody have any questions for her? It sounds like after Christine and Lainey look over our recommendations, then we'll be able to determine whether we need regular meetings, right, Christine? So like definitely not meetings every 2 weeks. And I guess it's to be determined about whether we need a standing meeting time or whether it would be more of an ad hoc basis, depending on the phase of the implementation, right?
I think so, yep.
Okay, great, thank you, sounds good. Okay, so I've shared the CWIG opt-in survey. So if you're interested in staying on, please go ahead and fill that out.
Lydia?
Yes.
Yeah, Jason here. I just have one quick question for Christine.
Yeah.
Given the available developer resources, will the outcome of this group's recommendations and your subsequent evaluation by Lyrisys Archive Space Program staff, will development prioritization have a role in establishing a queue for and evaluating how things are handled alongside the corpus of existing issues and feature requests?
I think certainly we can talk, yes, about development prioritization's role in the juggling of all the different things and what level of priority each of those streams gets. We definitely see, so agents is currently in the process, the agent spec is currently in the process of being developed. The first two chunks of it are going to come out probably in the January release, we think. But we definitely see the staff interface as the next important big project. But yeah, we'd certainly welcome development prioritization being involved in that and involved in helping us decide, you know, what is the highest priority within the staff interface recommendations, which chunks of this should get done first versus which other chunks. So definitely on that. But we do, I think we're going to see a sort of a stream of development reserved for staff interface work. Going forward for the foreseeable future, because it is a high, the community has already said this is a high priority. So we're taking that as a given, and it's maybe just some things within that that we want to figure out with your help, you know, what is the highest priority within that as well. There still is always the daily struggle of how you get the regular work done, how you get, and you all know this about this in your institutions as well. Like the things that keep the lights on are not as glamorous as the cool digitization project you can do and get money and additional attention for. So we want to still be able to keep the lights on and get the bugs fixed and you know, get the underlying infrastructure for the application done. There always has to be a stream devoted to that. But yeah, with figuring out how to juggle all those things, we definitely look for to development prioritization for help with that.
I think in the prioritization group and also for the larger community, that the way that you just put it, that you know, a chunk of available resources are dedicated to X, Y, and Z, like that's a nice way to put it, that you know, 30% of time is thrown at EAC CPF implementation, you know, 20% to this, 10% to that. I don't know how like statistically coherent those numbers need to be, but I think maybe in our next prioritization call, we can talk about how to communicate that out to the community at large in 2018.
Definitely.
Thanks.
Okay, so this has been a pretty packed meeting, and I want to tackle one more big issue, because this is going to be basically our last meeting before like the 19th, right? Well, no, maybe I'm making that up. Let me check the calendar again. Yeah, it's our last meeting before the 19th, when I hope that final meeting will be a recap of our recommendations and just final buttoning up, so that way we can post our final recommendations on Confluence. So with that said, I think we all need to really take a long, hard look at the specs for our team and make sure that within our recommendations, it's very clear, our message. Our message is very clear and concise as can be, because it is so much reading that people are doing. And so, like, I can already think of a couple of recommendations that I created, say, in the visual layout, as far as the visual layout, where I might need to cut down. You know, I was trying to put out all these different possible scenarios informed by the results of the survey and people's comments. There may be some things that I would want to scale back or else make very clear that these are just some ideas with not a clear expectation of action on them. So be very clear in your specs, even though my words are not very clear. On showing what is recommendations, and then what are potentially some other ideas that you had if you do want to keep them in your final document. So Also, I was wondering if the groups could also cycle through two other groups to proofread and help edit these documents. So we already did one round of editing. I mean, don't go crazy with editing, but proofreading other groups' documents. And so here's a link to our CWIG teams again. The first time we just went, let me share. I'm going to need to follow up with a breakdown of the list, but this is kind of what I'd like to see happen in the next 2 weeks, and you guys can let me know if this is too much. But so earlier what I had people do was take a look at the two teams that were directly below them in the line. This time I'd like to skip those two and go on to the next two. So having for the visual layout, data entry as first priority and user accounts as the secondary priority. And then organization of menus would have user accounts and permissions as first priority, as in like, look at this first, and then customization as the second priority. So if you are able to get to it in this 2 weeks time, to also look at them as well. Is that clear as mud? I'll follow up with a layout again. Is that okay, folks? I'll follow it up with an email. I'm sorry about that. and so the reason why is just so that way we can be more informed about what the whole group is recommending. And also, it's always helpful to have more eyes critically, especially focusing on the clarity of text and screenshots to make sure that our message is very clear and polished. Okay, and so we have 10 minutes. If you folks need to scoot out early, that's absolutely fine. So there was a lot of great commentary within the brainstorming documents, and I would love to make sure that those ideas are developed and integrated into our recommendations if possible. So let's see here. Brainstorming document. A lot has been done already for digital objects. I know that there's a working group that's in the works with that. But again, ideally, potentially we could put these forward as ideas that could be used as the digital objects working group feels fit in the future. My institution hasn't implemented digital objects, so I'm not really in a position to add additional feedback. So if anybody does have additional insight in this area, I think it'd be really helpful. The other brainstorming document we have here has a lot of interesting topics to it. So this second link is the general brainstorming document right here. Does anybody want to discuss any of these two documents and the potential ideas there? So I'd say between that and also that survey of the two surveys I shared, the survey for readers providing feedback also has some really helpful commentary and feedback too. So I'd really encourage you all to take a look at those. And I'll be planning to go through them and email groups individually with some of these ideas that seem to pertain to your topics. And it'd be really great if you could take a good look at those, see whether you could develop them some more, see whether it seems to be going in a good direction, and if so, integrate them into the final recommendations. All right, I won't take up any more time. I'll be in touch. I'll follow up. I'll earmark some of these various topics for particular groups to follow through with. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. All right, have a great afternoon. We'll be in touch again soon. All right, bye.
Perfect timing, Maria. Mm-hmm. What'd you got for Brianna to work on?
All right.